Yeah, I'm recording it, yeah. Right. Yeah. The extent of our sex education class was, hello class, we're going to watch a video today. It's a woman giving birth. There you go.
And we watched it. And she sat and did some marking. And we went,
what do you think of that then?
We went, yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, right, off to maths then.
This is the Living Spit Podcast. Welcome to the Living Spit Podcast. Listen to the Living Spit Podcast. It's on the way.
Hello.
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 Yes, we're back. It's the Living Spit Podcast.
It is. Back once again with the Renegade Master.
Yeah, which one of us is the Renegade Master, Duke?
I think it's probably Craig.
Yeah, yes! Definitely, it's definitely Craig. Craig's got a massive beard.
I've got a massive beard. Look, listen to my beard.
Are you getting that?
I don't know if that... It's not really coming out.
Should I do it on the microphone?
Yeah. Well, go on then.
Wow. You getting it? You getting it?
Yeah, we're getting that, yeah.
Yeah, that nice. Was the rustle of my bristles.
Well, there we go.
On your earlobes.
The rustle of your bristles. So you now have your beard is almost completely white. Now, I've known you for some years, and I can remember when you had a black beard, and now you have a white beard.
Now I've got a white beard.
I remember when you had no beard and a sort of pudding bowl haircut as well.
Yeah, I was going through my charlatans phase.
I've always said you were a charlatan.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hello, listeners. As you can hear, the bants is still epically strong. We've not lost it, have we?
No, I'm not sure I ever had it. But
yeah. But we are back.
Yeah, we're back.
Here we are.
We've come back after our little holiday. Well, sort of holiday. Well, I had a holiday.
You had a holiday. Craig, you went on holiday, didn't you?
Yeah, I had loads of holidays.
Where did you go?
Cornwall, Devon. Oh. Telford. I went to Dungeness.
Did you?
I saw Derek Jarman's house in Dungeness.
Wow. Is there a power station at Dungeness?
There is a massive nuclear power station there, yeah.
Brilliant, is that right?
It's a really eerie place to go to. I'd recommend it.
Wow.
Lovely. And where did you go, Stu?
Nowhere.
Right.
Stayed in, did my garden.
Nice. It does look lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done a lot of work on it. I started pruning a bush outside, and by the end of the sort of hour, I'd sawed it at the trunk.
I did that once with I was stripping wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
And we just moved into our house. I was young and thrusting. and I was stripping wallpaper, and I got to the fireplace.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I can't get the thing behind there. So I started, and I got... Kirsten got home, my wife got home later in the day. There was 12 bags of rubble and no fireplace.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. It happens, doesn't it?
It
you
does.
Just get like a dog with a bone. You just keep digging and digging and digging until there's nothing left.
I did that when I was cutting my nails once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I haven't got any legs.
That's why
anymore.
They call you Stumpy.
Yeah.
Stumpy Edwards.
Stumpy Edwards. Well, there we go. Now we know.
Yeah.
Well, hello. Why have we come back to say hi this time? I mean, what are we up to?
Well, we did promise that we would carry on with these podcasts.
We did,
but
we did.
They're not going to be a weekly thing anymore, I don't think.
No.
Basically, because we haven't got the time to do it. Because of things that may or may not be happening.
Yes, things that may or may not be announced in this podcast later on.
So we come back to say hello, really, and touch base and do all that stuff. We're in the theatre shop, appropriately socially distanced.
We are, yeah.
We should say that.
Yeah. And how are you doing, dear listener? There's a pause for them to respond. Oh, that's lovely. You seem to be trapped in a bag.
Yeah.
Well, lovely. Well, I hope you managed to get out soon. But shall we go to some comments from the audience to kick this off?
People have been in touch, Stuart.
They have.
They?
Yeah, they have.
To wish us well, so that's nice.
Who's been in touch then?
You'll be unsurprised to know that David Phillips has been
in
touch. He's back. He said, please remind me, who are you? Thanks, David. While you have been putting your feet up, some of us have got back to work, much to Christine's delight, her indoors.
Oh, he's not stopped his bad habits, has he?
Yeah, he has. I'll come up with some questions for the next one. I'm sure you're overflowing with news for us spitters.
Well, we may be, David, or we may not be, but that remains to be seen on this podcast later on. We've got another comment here. It's a very simple one. This is in response to our... saying, we're back, we're recording a podcast. Jude Harrington simply says, great news.
Do you think she's got a really deep voice like that?
I do, yeah. I think she goes, great news. She's got a slightly London sort of, that's great news.
I mean, it could be a man. Have we checked?
That's true.
No, Jude is actually, check. Oh no, it is a lady. Well,
the picture's a lady.
These days. Actually, I've got five mutual friends.
You're joking.
Jude Harrington, yeah.
Is that right?
That is right.
We seem to have stumbled down a Facebook rabbit hole there.
Yeah.
You got any mutual friends, Craig, with Jude Harrington or any of our fans or even us?
No, I've got Sue Mercer, though.
Oh, yeah, what's she say?
She's just gone, great to have you back.
Oh, thanks, Sue.
Thanks, Sue.
Oh, I miss Sue.
Lovely.
Now, has she done any kisses? Because she was quite kiss-happy before.
She's asked a question with two kisses at the end of the question.
We'll
I'm going to save those kisses.
Definitely.
Save Brotherhood of Man.
For her.
Yeah.
I used to love... So that song, when I was about four, my grandparents down in Devon had a radiogram. You know, one of those... You know what a radiogram is? It's a massive sideboard, basically.
Yeah. With they had it on the horse and cart, did they? And
massive speakers at the end, and it had a radio and a record player in it.
Whoa.
And it was mental. And they had one record that I liked, and it was Save Your Kisses for Me by Brotherhood of Man. And I used to go down there every summer, and I'd just play it non-stop, that song. And I used to love the kind of surprise at the end. It's got this brilliant surprise.
I love that surprise.
You think it's for you think he's talking about a kind of lover. Is that in fact talking about their little child?
Even though you're only three. And were you surprised every time you heard it?
I wasn't surprised.
Are you like a goldfish or
even
something?
Even at the age of four, I was charmed. Have you ever seen that dance that he used to do?
Yeah, it's like a chicken sort of
It's so weird,
thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you ever play the B-side of that single?
No, that's such a great question.
No, it is.
And you're going to tell us now what it was and who wrote it. And,
Craig is the font of all obscure record knowledge from the 70s.
No, I don't know what the B-side is. But I do know that if I had only one single, I would play the B-side.
Right,
and
I would
play the B-side just as...
I'm going to look it up.
Right. I do know that the B-side to... are we allowed to talk about Rolf Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the B-side to Rolf Harris's Sunrise was a song called Someone Pinched Me Winkles.
Oh, dear.
I think I had that song.
And it is such a weird song. It's all about some kind of eating competition where they're eating seafood. I don't know if it's some kind of Cockney, you know. Someone Pinched Me Winkles.
Wow.
Me, Winkles, I've been pinched, doobie doobie, me, Winkles, I've been pinched.
Well, that's good. 5 minutes in, we're already singing Rolf Harris.
Yeah.
This is bodes well, doesn't it? I've got the information for you.
Oh, wow. What is the B-side of that?
The B-side of Save All Your Kisses for Me is Let's Love Together. When do you think it was released? Let's do a quick pop quiz. This song, Save Your Kisses for Me.
I reckon release date. 1974.
Okay. And going to give a date?
Oh, what?
Yeah, I want
I'm obviously
opposite.
Right there. Nice
well, maybe. We'll see.
I'm going to say March.
The...
Oh, my God. 26.
Ooh. Craig?
The 19th.
Of March?
Yeah.
The same year? You're going the same year?
Yeah, why not?
Well, you're wrong on the year, I'm afraid.
Oh, I thought the year
but
was
But you
wrong.
Are right with March.
Oh.
But it's not the 20... What did you say, 20?
23rd, yeah.
And you said 19th.
I think it was 76, wasn't it?
It was 76.
Oh,
yeah.
Well done.
The height of punk rock.
It was. Yeah. It was the 5th of March. 5th of March.
Because, wasn't it...
Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were really properly a cut-price ABBA, weren't they?
They really were.
They were, yeah.
Did they win?
No.
No.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did.
I think they won with that one.
Did they?
I think they might have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, great songs, great times.
Oh,
we remember them well. I don't.
Well,
I wasn't
born.
And a great B-side.
Yeah, Let's Love Together.
Oh.
I can't remember how it went.
If only it was uploaded onto YouTube, we could play a little snatch.
Maybe we'll play a
little snatch of it.
Maybe we'll play a little snatch of it later on.
Yeah, Let's Love Together.
Yeah.
Talking of
loving together.
And snatch.
talking of songs, Craig, now, we were, last time we were on, we were talking about crap lyrics.
Oh, God.
You've come in this morning with, he said, I've got a crap lyric for you.
I've got loads, though. That's the problem.
But you've got one specific
I'm a
one
great lover of pop music, as you know, and I listen to a lot of pop music all the time, but there's a couple of songs I go, oh, that's such a bad lyric.
Go on.
Okay, so which one? I'm going to go for this week.
Yeah,
The Undertones, My Perfect Cousin.
Okay, yeah,
which is a great single.
My Perfect Cousin.
Yeah,
which is basically about you know, he's got a perfect cousin. He's great at everything.
Yeah.
The second verse.
Right.
He goes, he's got a degree in economics, maths, and bionics, which is a great lyric. Great lyric.
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next one is, I'm not quite sure about this one, but I think it's awful. He thinks that I'm a cabbage because I hate university challenge. Yeah.
Oh, that's that. Not
it's such a bad rhyme.
It is.
But I don't know whether they're going, you know, he's got a better vocabulary skills than me and I can't rhyme anything
It's got a deeper meaning because he's not even rhyming it right.
Yeah, he thinks that I'm a cabbage because I hate university challenge.
Oh, that is... It's not good either way you look at it,
it's not good. It's not good. It's a great single. It's a great song, but that really, really lets it down. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, well, there you go, the Undertones.
Fergal
Sharkey.
Fergal Sharkey. Hello there, I'm Fergal Sharkey.
I always thought he was like that, but he's Northern Irish, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I was doing Northern Irish.
Were you?
No, not the first time, the second time. Hello there, I'm Fergal Sharkey.
I want him to be like, hello there, I'm Fergal Sharkey.
Yeah, but what's weird, he's had this amazing career after... I remember when I used to weirdly run a radio station, he was the head of the radio authority
at the time.
Yeah,
wow.
Fergal Sharkey. And now he does something else.
He's an environmentalist now, isn't he?
He's been massive in record companies and stuff.
He does quite a lot for the Organ Donation Foundation, doesn't he? Because apparently a good heart is hard to find.
Oh, that is brilliant. You're good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Boom. We're back.
I was going to do a joke about organs and church organs. But yours was much better.
Thank you. Well, there we go. So, this wittering on is brilliant. And I think that should be a new feature. Craig's crap lyrics. Every time you come on, you've got to have a new song that you don't like the lyrics to. And we'll discuss it like we just did.
That'd be great.
Okay. We'll come up with a new jingle.
Can we mention the elephant in the room now?
What
the elephant that's quite literally in the room?
In the room.
It's not an elephant, is he? Not the literal elephant in the literal room.
The producer in the room.
Yeah. You mean the very bored man who's going, can I just say something now and not have to listen to this banter, which isn't very funny?
That's right.
We're very lucky. This morning because he's rushed off his feet at the moment, being a theatre producer, as he is. Is our hotshot theatre producer, Ali Robertson.
Mr. Ali Robertson. In fact, let's give him a real round of applause. Just for
Mr. Alistair St. John de Montfort Montague Robertson. Oh, that's not right, is it?
I never knew you knew all my names.
Well, hello, Ali. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I've been desperately biting my knuckles, trying not to laugh in order not to ruin the surprise of actually sitting here with you during the bants.
I know. It was such good... Bants, wasn't it?
I was
surprised you were itching to laugh.
I mean, it's like you haven't spent a moment away.
Well, yeah, quite.
So Ali's got also. He's got his. He's got. Is it you using that as your mask? You've got what can be only described as a snood.
A snood. I think you can do the first letter slightly differently.
A snood.
I believe. Yeah, it is. We're all trying different mask solutions. This is my mask solution. It's a white snood a la Formula One racer.
It does. It looks. It makes. We've talked about this, but it does make you look like James Hunt from like 1976.
What did you call the things that you're talking into?
Pop shields
for the microphone. I don't have one. Does this work like one?
Well, I guess so.
So I'm now wearing.
He's now wearing
a mask as a pop shield.
Well, let's see. I mean, it slightly muffles your voice a little bit.
Okay, maybe I won't do
that's
that.
That's better. That's better.
Yeah. So Ali is our producer. Yes. And has been for the last sort of 18 months.
Yeah, about that long.
We thought we'd kind of want to meet the Living Spit team. We met everybody else, apart from Trimmo, who's still refusing to come on.
She's radiophobic.
She is.
So we thought we'd ask Ali on and get him to talk about himself in a self-deprecating way.
Yeah. Or a self-aggrandising way, if you prefer.
Who cares?
I thought you were talking about me. Do I have to talk about myself?
Well, no, but what we'll do, the way these things work is that we ask you some questions.
Yeah.
And then, so that kind of directs where the conversation's going.
So, Ali, tell us about yourself. No, don't. But do give us, just tell us how you kind of got involved with working with us. Just give us the kind of pop history.
I'm pretty sure I was there on Living Spit's first ever trial performance of Henry. Back in the day.
Wow.
I was, and I don't think you know that. Back in the day.
I don't remember you. No.
Did you do just one performance or two of the tryouts?
One at the Crystal Vic Ferment. Yeah,
and it was the first half.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because
we hadn't written Act Two by that point, had we? So the tryout was just Act One.
No, so I was there for that, and know you from back of that, but knew Living Spit much better because I used to run the Tobacco Factory, or Tobacco Factory Theatres, as we called it, back in the day, and programmed Living Spit all the time. I mean, I don't know how many shows have played there. Probably seven, something. I'm wanting to say seven, something like seven shows have played at Tobacco Factory. And it was the last, actually, Living Spit managed to close one of the theatres.
That's right.
It was the last ever show to play in the lamented Brewery Theatre. But yeah, Living Spit was an absolute staple. Loved programming the company, loved having the company around. It was a favoured thing. No better company to close the Brewery Theatre. And then a year and a half ago, I went freelance at the same time as you were looking for a producer. And that was brilliant for me. Maybe not so good for you, but fantastic.
Well, it's worked out quite well so far.
That was how I hoped it would go. Yeah.
And your background is you ran the Tobacco Factory and then you worked for Nehigh, didn't you?
I did for a couple of years, yeah. I'd come from Cork in Ireland, which I love dearly, but which has a much smaller theatre scene. So I'd arrived and just thought, this is brilliant. So many people passionately engaged with theatre.
And then you met me and realised that it wasn't quite as good as you thought.
And I thought, oh God, maybe I made a big mistake. But yeah, there was a debate recently about theatre in the age of coronavirus, and it was surprising how many of the same preoccupations came out then as came out in the immediate moments when coronavirus, in the immediate moments when Bristol Vic shut. The conversations sounded the same. People going, how are we going to make work? How are we going to be able to show it?
Wow.
No, here we go.
We're depressed now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no. But this is a happy story, and it's a happy story that's presumably going to lead on to the news we're going to tell. The happy story is that Bristol Vic shut, but then it reopened. And even in the intervening times, we did find a way to tell stories because people just love seeing shows and people love making shows. And I think that we can over-dramatise the dangers to entertainment. And I think entertainment will find a way. And I think we're showing that at the moment. The whole industry is beginning to reopen. People are doing shows outdoors and now indoors. And I think people are flocking to them in huge numbers. Obviously, we're wary of the virus and we're taking all appropriate measures to guarantee safety. But all around the country, people are getting back to the entertainment they love.
Oh,
and that's very good for us, but both personal and financial reasons.
Yes, yes.
So, Ali, can you just say, because for people who don't know what a producer does, could you just give us a brief outline of what it is that you do?
Yeah, the idea, I think, is a producer makes things happen by putting together people and or venues and or ideas and or money. So it mixes all the things together to allow the artists to do their work. For example, Howard and Stu and Craig came up with an idea for a Christmas show, which I think we're going to be talking about later. And I have found venues that wish to host it. I found a little bit of money to support it happening. I'm coordinating the making of the publicity to make sure that huge numbers of people come and see it, and hopefully creating really clear ground so that the team can make the best work possible and so that it can be seen by the widest number of people possible.
Very good.
Wow.
Well, sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds
Sign
good.
Me up.
Right. We didn't know what you did until
Yeah, not a clue. Who's this tall bloke hanging about?
Exactly.
Oh, that's what he
does. I went to a workshop when I was about 22 with a big West End producer. You know, every so often there's a show generally from America of Arthur Miller or Tennessee Williams, and it goes into the West End with some super classy celeb who's Hollywood and even London is a bit, oh God, they're a bit posh and famous. And there'll be one of those, you know, an Arthur Miller play or something. And the guy who produced shows like that gave a workshop, which I went to, and he said, people always ask me what a producer is. And he's the person who says yes to some things and no to others. And at that point, I thought, oh, that's the job I want. It basically sounds like sitting around having coffee with a bit of power.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Cut to now. Here you are.
Yeah, sat in a shop.
In a shopping unit in Clifton with no coffee.
Yes. Well, there we go. Yeah, why haven't you got coffee?
Yeah,
because he didn't buy one.
Right, as simple as that.
Yeah.
The golden days when someone would produce coffee for me, just it would appear.
But that's the
trouble. You're the only one with coffee, actually.
I brought my own.
We've all done badly.
I've finished it.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, I haven't got one either.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you had an opportunity to.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that now.
Yeah.
Thinking about that opportunity lost.
You could pause the podcast and go and get coffee if you want.
Okay.
Do you want to, do you?
And we're back, and I've got my coffee. No, really, I just went quiet then, and then said, and now we're back. And I haven't really got any coffee. No. That was a conceit.
Yeah, yeah. Let's crack on. So, we've got some news then.
Why Ali's here, isn't it?
That's why Ali's here.
We knew we wanted to do another podcast, and we were thinking, well, what's the point? We've got nothing to
say. What's the point? You wouldn't like it.
My life. And then Ali said, actually, we got some... I've been squirreling away for the last 6 weeks while you lot have been on holiday.
Yeah.
I've actually done some work.
Well, this is it. Want to know what a producer does? Let's find out.
Yeah. And he's managed to find us some work. So, Ali, over to you with what Living Spit's going to be doing.
Bits of work which hopefully will delight everyone listening. Before this podcast started, Living Spit were actually doing shows in a world where you could make people laugh in the same room. And we were on a very, really successful tour of The Six Wives of Henry VIII. It was fantastic, wasn't it? We went to London for the first time.
Yep.
We got nominated for an award, an Off West End Award.
Yeah.
And I don't think we know yet whether we're going to win it.
Guaranteed to win it.
Well, I don't think any shows been on since.
Yeah.
We were literally the last show in London.
I think we are the only nomination. So hopefully in a couple of months we'll default into being the Off West End Award winning Living
Spit. That'd be good.
So we did that. We sold out the King's Head in London, which was fantastic. It was a blast. We got the nomination, loads of brilliant reviews. Went to the big city for the first ever time. Didn't know how that was going to go. It went really well. We came back to Bristol. Sold out there. I mean, just comedy style. The show sold out months in advance. And we were just about to come to Clevedon to round that tour off when coronavirus hit and we had to cancel a load of shows and leave a lot of disappointed audiences. So we are bringing that show back this autumn.
Yay!
We are bringing it to lots of venues that haven't yet reopened and got in touch with us nervously saying we want to reopen but we don't know how many people we'll be able to invite in and we don't know exactly what people will think about coming back in. We know our audiences love Living Spit. Can you come and do a show? It might be smaller audiences than normal because they're all distanced, but please can you come and do the show to help us open? And so that's what we're doing in loads of places. I'm going to talk about some of them. In the world that we're in, we're still confirming dates much later on than we'd normally confirm them because venues are still working out their safety protocols, working out how they're going to take care of their audiences and what have you. But we are going to be starting on the 9th of October, which is a month today. I hadn't realised.
Whoa.
A month today, we are back playing in front of a live audience.
How strange.
How strange and exciting.
Very, very exciting.
Very exciting.
Wow.
So where's that, Ali? Can you
that's
say?
That's in Chew Valley.
Right.
Nice. We're playing there. We're then going to Dorset for 3 days. Those venues yet to be confirmed. So we've been booked. Well, we've been paid for 3 days. So we know we're going to go to three venues.
So whatever happens, we get some money.
I'm sure that that's the most important point, which everyone's interested in. And we're coming back to the shop.
We are.
The week of the 19th of October.
Yeah. That's sort of a joint announcement because we haven't actually announced that the shop is opening again, but I think it's fine for us to do that.
Well, we have. Because it is. So, the theatre shop's coming back. Season.
Yeah, and there'll be details all over the website and on our social media and what have you about how you can book. There's obviously still details to be sorted out. We're still working out where people can sit, how the bubble rules work, things like that. But that's going to be playing from the week of the 19th of October. That's going to be playing A Week of Henry, which is brilliant. We're also playing two other places, only one of which I can talk about. The one I can talk about is fantastic. We're going to the Minak Theatre in Cornwall.
Minak Theatre.
It's a dream.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to play the Minak.
Me too.
You never played the Minak, did you?
Never
Despite
played there.
Working in Cornwall
I know, worked in Cornwall quite a lot and never played the Minak. Always wanted to.
I've never actually been there.
What, to Cornwall?
No, I've been to Cornwall.
Oh. To the Minak. I've never been. Never been to the Minak. Never seen anything.
I've seen stuff at the Minak.
Have you? What
for
you
people
seen?
Who don't know what the Minak is, it's an open-air theatre built on the cliffs.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting there looking out to sea. Oh. It's amazing. So if you're in a show and it's late at night and then a load of dolphins, which invariably do, kind of just swim by, the audience aren't looking at you on stage. They're looking at the dolphins.
Wow.
And there's a lighthouse, Oh, it's magical.
And it's just,
and you get very wet if it rains, obviously.
It must be lovely to play there on those, you know, balmy summer evenings. Oh. You know, just
and when are we playing there again?
Like the 30th of October, right. The 1st and 2nd of November.
Right.
The
right.
night before Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're actually playing on Halloween, aren't we?
You're quite right. Yeah. I forgot how many days there were in October.
Spooky.
The 31st of October and the 1st of November.
There we
it
go.
It is spooky. Halloween night. Yeah.
Yeah. Good I'm coming stuff. Down.
Are you?
Yeah, me and Katie are coming down. We booked into the Premier Inn in Penzance.
Just nice.
You know how to live there.
Yeah. That's the cheapest place we can get.
Right.
And we're going to come and see it.
Brilliant.
Have a little holiday.
You only ever come to see our shows if there's a little holiday in it for you, don't you?
To be fair to him, I mean, like, Henry, you know,
he directed it 8 years ago.
That film? The film?
Well, is it a film?
No, not yet.
Oh, I wish it was. Yeah, he directed it 8 years ago, let's face it. He's done, we've rehearsed it several times since, but he's barely had anything to do because it's just a case of us remembering what to do.
Yeah.
And we're still dragging it out, and he's still having to come and see it.
I remember going playing in Cornwall. It was the first time we'd ever done Henry after we made it at the Bristol Old Vic.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And
I was on holiday.
You were on holiday, and we played at the asylum, Asylum, big tent in near. Was it near?
Well, it was
it
in
moved
a place
from place to place. It was near Callington.
Yeah.
Black something or other it's called Black Woods or something.
Anywho, we're playing there and we had to re-rehearse it, didn't we? Because we hadn't done it for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And we went to that tiny little village hall by the beach in, I can't remember where it was.
Oh yeah.
Weirdly, I went back there this summer and did it in this tiny room above a village hall.
So I went there. I was on holiday anyway.
Yeah.
So me and my family went there. The kids went off to the beach. Katie went off to have a coffee, and I was sat in a village hall with you guys doing Henry.
Wow.
A balmy hot summer's day.
Oh. I've got no memory of that whatsoever.
Yeah. But was then we had a brilliant evening doing it at the asylum.
That's
and it
true.
Was an absolute blast.
It was. So 350 people.
It was fantastic evening.
It was brilliant. Such a great night. Well, let's hope we can replicate that. It won't be 350 people, though. But
at the Minac, it'll be 250.
Will it?
Even if it's
with
not raining.
Social distancing?
Yeah, the Minac's absolutely huge. I mean, Craig's described it really well. It was built by... Can you remember the name of the lady who built it? I can't remember her name, but there's a woman who started building it in the 30s, and basically her and her gardener built this absolutely incredible theatre.
Just dug it out of the rock, didn't they?
Just dug it out of the rock, facing the sea.
There's pictures of her with her wheelbarrow just doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
She's an extraordinary woman. And she's built
something huge.
Rowena Cade,
that's
the
one. There
we go. 750 seats, it normally seats. It's seating 250 this year while distancing happens. You're slightly at the mercy of the weather in the Minac.
Slightly.
So I produced a show there during a storm, and that was interesting.
You're completely open to the elements, is that
completely
right?
Completely open to the elements.
There's no canopy. What about the audience? Do they get any sort of
shelter? I believe that umbrella rules are being relaxed in social distancing because they're not going to be such a pain. Normally speaking, they said no to umbrellas because you would destroy the view of people nearby you. But because people will not be nearby you, they are relaxing the umbrella rules.
Wow. Very good.
But yeah, that's beautiful. We are then coming back to Bristol, and that's one of the ones that I can't yet talk about.
Is that it?
So we're doing that, and that's Henry. And at the end of Henry, while Henry is playing, we're also rehearsing our next show. Well, it's such a brilliant title that I'm not going to say what it is.
I tell you what, we asked you to pick a song from the Living Spit oeuvre.
did we?
And you have, and it's coincidentally, it's from Six Wives of Henry VIII. So
I was thinking of a couple from Nativity, but you cannot beat, and I don't know how it'll work without the dance, but you cannot beat Anne of Cleves.
Well, let's play that then.
Let's do that then.
Number one. He said you smell like a bright first aurora. I said, okay, I'll set you free. If you pay me handsomely, I will give you a divorce. And so by June of 1540, I was thrown out of Hampton Courty, and there is no more to reporty of this doomed romance.
You said you look like a gargoyle with a tropical disease. Allow me.
Oh, oh, what a song.
And
oh.
We have actually been doing the dance for Ali, haven't we?
We totally have, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we remembered all the moves,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which bodes well for October. Because there's lots of them in that, aren't there, Greg? Yeah.
You and hopefully we'll be able to do those moves holding an umbrella.
Yeah, well, yeah.
When we're at the minute.
We might have to. We might well have to. It's a lovely choice, Ali. Why did you go for that one specifically?
I think that it is an all-round, let's say it's a complete total theatre. That's a good thing to say on a podcast, but I absolutely love the madness and the dance involved in the song. I mean, the song's all a bit, you know, Kraftwerk with jokes. You can't get much
sort of the point.
That's what we're going with.
Yep. So, yeah, the Kraftwerk with jokes thing works. When those jokes are coming up with your dance, I think it's just magic. I must have seen that section, 10 times? I don't know. I wouldn't have seen it back in the day, because it wasn't rehearsed.
No, it was in
Henry
Act Two,
the first time.
Yeah.
But I've probably seen Henry 10 times, 15 times, and I still find that one of the highlight bits of it.
Oh, what a lovely thing to say.
What a lovely man.
Ooh.
And you teased us, you tickled us in inappropriate places, metaphorically speaking, just now, with we were rehearsing a new show with a brilliant title.
Yeah.
Do you want to announce what that will be?
Well, no, I'm going to leave you to announce the title because I think it's really good. But I would say that normally speaking, one announces Christmas titles kind of April, May time. Mm. And it's sort of weird that we're doing this in September and there'll still be a bunch of dates that that we're not able to talk about. But I think it's still going to be fantastic because I think that, drumroll, what the next Living Spit show will be.
Here's the drumroll.
Well, hang on, I'm going to keep going.
Oh, hang on, keep the drumroll going. Okay.
So, I don't know how this has happened, but David Phillips seems to think, he's heard a rumour that we're going to be doing Beauty and the Beast. And David, we can confirm,
We are
going to be doing Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, David, the rumours are true. We're going to be doing Living Spit's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, so we were looking for a show. We normally have a problem with Christmas shows, aren't we? Because the trouble, when you do Nativity or Christmas Carol, it's basically you can only do it for 4 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
And so we were looking for... So with Swan Lake, we decided, that'll be better because you can do that any time, pretty much, even though it's sort of wintry.
Seasonal is good, isn't it? Wintry is good, but if it's too specific about Christmas, there's a limited shelf life.
And we were trying to think of what to do. Mm. Well, what did we come up with? We did come up with something, and then we went, not sure. And then we just, one day in the car, I was driving you back from
That's
here,
right.
And we just said, Beauty and the Beast.
You said it was your idea. Don't play it down. It was your idea. It was great.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah, if it was terrible.
Always it's that thing of like two people.
Yeah.
You know, what can we do with two people? That's how Frankenstein started. It was two people, Victor and the creature. And this is a bit the same, Beauty and the Beast. And we just thought it'd be funny because one of us is going to have to be the Beast.
Yeah.
Physically attractive we both are.
Well, yeah.
That it's going to be tricky for us to pull that off.
Yeah. You mean Beauty or the Beast?
Yeah, I'm not sure I can pull off the Beast.
No, I don't think I'll be pulling off the Beast either.
I think we all saw that joke coming, didn't we?
Come on. The jokes will be a bit better than that, I promise. Well, I don't promise. They probably won't be.
Well, we've written the first half, Stu.
We have written the first half. First draft of the first half.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're going to... We had a little break over summer and we're going to crack into Act 2, writing it.
This afternoon.
This afternoon, in fact. So, lots of exclusives going all over the place here. But, Beauty and the Beast. So there we go.
And the show was going to be Elves and the Shoemaker.
It was.
That's right.
Thank
well
you.
Done. Oh, I knew there was a
which isn't as good a title.
No, it's not.
I think Beauty and the Beast is much, much better.
Well, and we had to singularise it, didn't we? We were going to do the Elf and the Shoemaker, because obviously there's two of us. But it's
feeling compromised already, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
But Living Spit's Beauty and the Beast has been a joy to tell theatres about, because all the theatres that we normally go to do get in touch going, come back again. And as soon as I say Living Spit's Beauty and the Beast, they go, yeah, I get it.
Oh.
And so it's been a treat, and we're going to be going to lots more places with it. We're starting here in Clevedon in the 7th of December, probably starting on the 8th of December, but playing Clevedon for 3 weeks running up to Christmas.
Wow.
To reintroduce joy to Clevedon.
Wow.
At the important time of year.
I mean, there is literally nothing joyous about Clevedon apart from Living Spit.
Why?
Pretty little. The pier's still closed?
No, I think it's open.
Is it reopened? Yeah, okay, there's a bit of joy on the pier.
No, there's lots of joy in Clevedon.
I was going to say, it's very rare for Howard to be slagging off Clevedon.
Yeah.
Especially in a public domain.
I said it in
domain.
An ironic, did you? Provocative okay.
Your
way.
Your poker face was too good. Yeah. I decided to go with the serious.
I've just thought about a joke which involves poker face.
Yeah, don't
I'm not,
do it.
I'm not going to do
don't
it.
Don't do it.
No.
carry on, Ali. Sorry. So you're bringing some joy to Clevedon.
Bring joy to Clevedon. And then after Christmas, we're bringing joy to Bristol again. Oh. Now, I think we can say this one.
Another theatre in Bristol.
Another theatre in Bristol.
Is it a different theatre?
The one that we may or may not play.
Yeah, but this one, we can say what it is. We can say that this theatre is the Bristol Old Vic.
Oi!
Which we are playing from the 28th of December. We've still got the details to work out, but we'll play a couple of weeks or so at Bristol Old Vic, probably in the foyer. Wow. And Craig and I are going to see a show in the foyer.
What are you
tonight.
Going to see?
We're going to see Sightcat Ahmed's new show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, his epic poem.
Great. Absolutely
wow.
Brilliant.
Is it one long poem from beginning to end?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's just a bit of a poem. He's making a long poem, but tonight we're seeing a bit of it.
Okay. I've got a bit of a Sightcat Ahmed-based bone to pick with you, Ali.
Do you?
I have. We're not playing at the Salisbury Playhouse with Henry, are we? But Sightcat is playing the Salisbury Playhouse with the Tiger and the Moustache.
Oh.
He is.
Discuss.
Actually, it was a specific date where we were already busy.
Oh,
we were already booked.
So they wanted us, but we turned them down.
That's what happened on one date.
Right.
There was another date where we wanted them and they turned us down.
Oh, so it's a bit of a
mutual. But actually, we come really well out to the whole story.
Oh, good.
Because the reason that we got turned down for Blue Topaz because they wanted something safe and comfortable to encourage people back in. So we were a bit too edgy for them.
Nice.
We discussed this the other day, didn't we? That Blue Topaz sounds like the name of a kind of aging, easy sort of lounge
covers band.
A covers band. They play old, you know, night and day, that sort of thing. But they're not like that. They're actually a really cool group of, there's four women, and they all play string instruments.
It's a string quartet, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a string quartet. Now, I think they look fantastic, and I'm sure they're brilliant. I'm not sure about the name.
They do, and I hadn't researched them until you did that, and I'd had the same assumption with you. I think they are better than the name Blue
Topaz.
Yeah,
I agree. So if you're listening, Blue Topaz, you almost certainly are. maybe sort the name out a bit. There you go.
But keep doing what you're doing.
Keep doing it.
Says the one of the half of Living Spit.
Good point.
And we're not even going to mention the alternative name that you came up with.
No, we're definitely not.
We're definitely not going to.
I thought of a good one. I think
it
was good. I still think it was good, but I'm not going to say it.
No,
I'm not saying. But it was. I think it was a good name. Blue Topaz, if you're listening, get in touch with me privately and I'll share my name suggestion with you. There you go.
What, for them to use it?
For them to use as their new name.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, great, you're going to see Sightcat tonight. He's very good.
Going to see Sightcat in the foyer. Obviously, it is research to make Living Spit's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that's the only reason we're going.
Be.
Oh, yeah. It's just research, yeah.
Because playing the Bristol Vic a little after Christmas. And then we're going out on tour. Again, some of these confirmed, some dates that we can't confirm. We know we're going back to Sturminster Newton, which we're delighted about.
Yes.
This is lovely, and I don't think I've told you this. Sturminster Newton, the exchange at Sturminster Newton, is closed throughout January. And so they were going to cancel our bookings. And then she thought about it, rang me up, got back in touch and said, we are shutting everything, but we want to make an exception because we're miserable that we're a venue that's closed.
Oh.
And can we make an exception and bring Living Spits back with Beauty and the Beast? So we'll be the only show playing at the Exchange in Sturminster Newton by their special request and the request of their audience.
We love the Exchange in Sturminster Newton, don't we?
Gorgeous, aren't they?
Brilliant. Yeah. We love them. What a thrill. We'll be back there. That's brilliant news.
We will. And we'll be going to the Spring, and we'll be going to the Rondo, which is new to us, but we haven't been to the Rondo in Bath for years, have we? And we're going to the Marine Theatre and the Pound in Corsham.
Brilliant.
And we've got plenty of others that just don't want to announce yet because they're seeing how things go over the next few weeks.
Yep.
We'll keep an eye on the website because we'll stick all the dates on the website and on Facebook and all that malarkey.
So there we go. Wow. Joy to the world. Living Spit hath come.
Particularly the Southwest England part of the world.
Yes,
indeed. Which is basically the only part that matters.
Yeah. Really?
I believe our listenership is concentrated in that area.
Mostly,
obviously, we do have international stats.
We did have some international stats. I'm not sure they're still... We had Canada, we had India.
India, we had Germany.
We had someone in Oman downloaded it, so who knows if they're still listening. Okay. Hi, if you are still listening.
Did we get more than one download in any one of these countries?
I think we did. There was definitely Rebecca, if you're listening, from Germany. She was listening, wasn't she? Downloaded two in, I think, Munich. Yeah. So two downloads there. I'm not sure whether Rebecca downloaded it twice or was that somebody else? I don't know. Who knows?
So a cluster broke out in Germany.
They did. A cluster very much broke out in Germany. So, interesting.
And then we have got, we won't announce it now, but we have got plans for next year, haven't we?
We really do. And I was a bit worried because there would just be so many shows around because obviously pretty much everyone cancelled their shows from March to September and some people from March to December. And everybody's looking to rebook those shows in 2021. So there's a lot of shows fighting for a finite number of theatres. But we're going back to a lot of places we've been, including some really, fairly competitive venues, prestigious venues. We've got our next two shows right the way through 2021. We know that we're remaking a couple of shows and we're making some new shows. So, yeah, we've got quite a lot of plans in store, which we'll talk about in due course.
That feels very good after having no plans at all to have lots and lots of plans. So I'm very happy with that.
Is important, and this just is a thing that'll happen in the next few weeks. All the outdoor shows that were announced over this summer just sold out straight away. The Minac literally sold all their tickets, and obviously we'll see what happens later in the year. And hopefully it'll be the start of us having a relationship with the Minac and doing shows there.
It's not some kind of sexual relationship.
Well, I don't know how that would work.
I'm sure somebody's tried it.
What, having sex with an outdoor theatre?
Yeah.
It's a very strange... Yeah, I'm sure someone has thought about that.
Yeah. I think Howard just did.
Yeah.
There's a webcam permanently on the Minac Theatre, if you go to their website.
Wow.
So maybe if you watched it all the time, you could see someone.
I bet somebody's done it on stage. I bet somebody's snuck in there in the dead of night and done things they shouldn't
under
be doing.
Cover
and I'm
of night.
Wondering if that was caught on the webcam, because the webcam is 24/7 and it's really reliable. It's not one of those.
So that means you can watch the shows basically for free on the webcam? Then?
You can, from quite a distance. Ah. It's not a particularly satisfying experience and it doesn't have sound.
Definitely not then.
You've got, when I was confirming the dates, I was watching... out of the court, I was talking to the person who runs the Minac, who's wonderful, Zoe Kernow. She's really fantastic. And I was watching Dave Min, who has played Theatre Shop before. I was watching him perform to a full house.
Wow.
There. But
He's playing at the Salisbury Playhouse as well.
Is he?
There
you go. Yes, I did know that. I'm sure we were busy
riled him.
I know.
I'm upping my anger for comic effect.
Right,
I don't actually give a monkey.
Right, okay. There we go.
So Minac sold out all its seats. The Watermill in Newbury announced an outdoor season and had their biggest day of sales that they've ever had, despite social distancing and resultant smaller audiences. People are just beginning to announce the indoor shows. You know, a load of the shows we've just talked about aren't. You're not able to book them yet. And the booking process, I imagine, will be kind of confusing, unfortunately, because everyone's kind of reinventing the way they're doing it. But even despite the fact that people are announcing shows really late on, they're not able to publicise them. Lots of them are selling out. The show Craig and I are going to tonight is sold out.
Wow.
So I really hope that those straws in the wind grow and that people do turn out and see shows, because that'll give confidence to the industry that it can come back in 2021 and
Great.
That we can start rebuilding, getting together in a responsible fashion and laughing and weeping at wonderful works of art.
And just to be clear, the Minac, they haven't sold out for our show, have
no,
they?
No, no, no.
Okay. So
I beg your pardon. Our
tickets.
Show, we are announcing it. It's not on sale on
That's
their website
right,
yet.
Yeah.
It's sold out for all the shows until the end of August,
okay.
which is what they originally announced.
Very good. So there you go. You can get your tickets. Not
wow.
yet, but
not yet.
Very
not
soon.
Not yet, but soon.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Thank
that's,
you, Ali.
That's good. Thank you, Ali.
Thank you, Ali.
It's nice to hear you, meet you. I mean, I've met you. Obviously, we've met yeah. you loads when we work with you, but on yeah. the podcast. So thank you.
It's a joy to be on it.
Well, there we go. Great. Well, that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very happy about that.
Yeah, very
really
happy.
Good. Really,
now,
really
we,
good.
We haven't got much in the way of material for our features, have we?
We haven't. We have got some
questions from the audience,
though. And now for some audience questions.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
Should I just say, well, normally we do a sort of running order, don't we?
We do.
And I suppose technically it was my responsibility.
Technically,
because
yeah,
I'm doing the edit, but.
Yeah.
But I didn't, basically.
No, it's fine. So if it's been a bit slapdash... I mean, we haven't even introduced ourselves at the top of this episode. We
oh,
should
no.
probably do that now, shouldn't we?
Yeah. Right, I'm Howard Coggins.
I'm Stu McLaughlin.
And I'm Craig Edwards.
And with our powers combined, we are...
Living Spit!
There you go.
Oh,
so
Ali's giving us that look of like, what am I doing with these losers?
I'm not surprised.
It was just you've done that so often, and it was just not in time. And
no,
I know
it wasn't,
we're all
was it?
Forgiving ourselves because there was a summer break,
but it is deliberate. Ali.
Yeah,
it's
we are.
The,
no,
yeah.
no, no, no.
The kind of we
for comic
we
effect.
Wallow in the kind of slightly slapdash haphazard.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you,
I,
what, just,
I think that was more slapdash than you'd got it. I think the summer break.
Okay,
is,
we've got to prove it now. Just
this
for
is what
Ali.
Producers do. They come in and then they start giving us our artistic
noting. I'm noting.
Right, let's do a really slick one for Ali.
My name's Howard Coggins.
I'm Stu McLaughlin.
And I'm Craig Edwards.
And with our powers combined,
we are Living Spit!
Although
go.
I didn't do the powers
combined. No, you didn't. No, yeah. Why not?
We do it again?
Should
yeah.
I not do the powers
combined?
No,
I think we'll all do the powers combined.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
hold on.
Here we go.
You're proving
again.
My point.
Yeah. Good. My name's Howard Coggins.
I'm Stu McLaughlin.
And I'm Craig Edwards.
And with our powers combined, we are Living Spit!
That was much better.
Okay, that was good.
Ali was so right. He's so right.
Yeah, he's right. It's a good job he's here, actually.
Yeah.
He does
but,
improve
I mean,
our work.
You choose, listener, whether you... We'll put all three out there, shall we?
A, B or C. We want the comment. Which is your favourite?
Right, let's go for Sydney's questions. Go on, you go first.
Okay, I've got a question from our good old mate, Lauren Redding, Loza Rosa.
Oh.
She says, if you were a biscuit, what biscuit would you be and why? She didn't say I'm why, but I've added it.
Okay.
So, right, Howard, do you want to go first on this one?
Not really, but...
Go on,
now,
set the
see,
tone.
The temptation is to say what your favourite biscuit is.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's...
No, that's not the question, is it?
No,
it's what biscuit
question.
Would you be?
I think I would be...
Yeah.
..a custard cream. Well,
wow.
I think I am a custard cream. If
right.
like me as a biscuit.
So like classic.
Classic.
Sweet. Traditional.
Reliable.
Reliable.
But not flashy.
Yes. You are a custard cream. That's, I think that is good. Craig, you got one? He's thinking. He's
oh,
really
this
deep.
This is really tough.
It is tough.
That's a really tough question.
Like seriously, Craig takes it.
See, my initial thought was a Ritz, and I know it's a cracker.
Yeah, it's a biscuit.
But it's a biscuit, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a biscuit.
It's a biscuit.
I've always said you were a cracker.
I like Ritz. I'm a Ritz biscuit. I love Ritz biscuit boxes.
You just want to be in the box.
I think the packaging on a Ritz biscuit is great. Yeah. So, because the packaging's really good, obviously, because I look really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mean, there's pride in your work and then there's
arrogance. Yeah. And I always like the fact that Ritz biscuits have a lot of sugar in them and a lot of salt. So there's the sweet and the sour, which you get with me.
Out. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you can... you can binge on them, and I think you can binge on me.
Wow.
Right, okay. Mm.
Yeah, I think we've been binging on you for quite a long time. I think I'd be a cheddar. You know, like mini cheddars, but the big one.
Right.
A cheddar, because... because they're kind of like structurally, they're quite sound.
Yeah.
They're a little bit cheesy.
Right.
But the flavours are strong.
Oh.
Yeah?
Right. So, brilliant.
And a bit boring.
Well, I suppose so, yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. And Ali, you?
Well, I got stuck on the favourite. Howard's quite right. You interpreted as favourite. Mm. So treat this as a tip. Belvita soft bake.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, they're the best. No one eats them. Get down to Aldi. Right. Eat a Belvita soft bake. Think of me while you do so.
Are you saying that you're kind of like, you're brilliant, but no one knows much about you? That would be quite fitting.
That's a nice interpretation. Yeah. I'll go with that one. But I'm glad it was you that said it, not me.
Okay, very good. There you go, Lozza.
That was brilliant. Thank you, Lozza. Can
we just say about Lauren? Yeah. She has some brilliant news.
Oh, she did. Let's talk about Lauren.
So Lauren Redding, who spoke to, weeks ago.
Yeah, for our Frankenstein
episode. Was in Frankenstein.
Yeah.
She's made a one-woman show.
Yeah, she's a woman, so we can say one woman.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure you're even allowed to say that anymore, whether somebody is or is not a woman.
A one-hander.
A one-hander, yeah.
But she's got two hands, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's not like you, Stumpy.
I always thought a one-hander always sounded a bit rude. When we were in drama school, we used to talk about that. Yeah. Always a two-hander.
Oh my god.
Anyway, back to the news.
So she's made this. She's making this show. It's called Bloody L. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. Yep. Bloody L the musical. Bloody L E L L E. We've had an exclusive reading of it over Zoom,
and it was a real treat.
It's going to be so good. Yep. And she got an Arts Council grant last week for it, so she's really excited. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It will be coming to... Well,
she tells us it's going to come to the shop.
Yes. So please look out for it, no matter where you live in the country. She's a massive talent.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
We would love everybody to go and see it.
We certainly would. Okay, so on with the questions. What have we got?
I've got one from Sue Mercer.
Oh, okay.
Go on then.
She says, who put on the most weight over the holidays?
Now, a bit of a personal question there. I don't know the answer, but the other day... So when lockdown first happened, I lost a bit of weight. I had to put an extra belt in my trousers, and this was great news. Because
An extra belt? Two belts?
I'll say that again. I had to put an extra hole in my belt so that I could do it up tighter, right? And I thought, oh, this is brilliant. Everyone's putting on loads of weight, and I've lost them. Now, the opposite has happened.
Right.
And even though I'm exercising now, which I wasn't before, I tested my BMI the other day. I'm officially overweight.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Only just, but I am. It's official.
I would love to be merely overweight.
What are you then? Have you done your BMI?
I'm obese. I'm not morbidly obese,
right,
but
yeah.
I am obese.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely put on the COVID stone.
Did you?
I ballooned, Stu.
Did you?
Yeah, I was eating everything. And I was, a bit fed up. However, I can say I have lost half of that COVID stone.
Brilliant.
Since I started
this podcast.
Eating better.
It's been going on so long.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago. So,
well done.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I definitely put on a stone, but I've lost half of that.
Very good.
There you go.
Craig, I have no idea what my weight is. I don't weigh myself or even...
Oh, you've been the same weight since you were about 42.
I get out of the shower, look at myself in the mirror and go,
Looks good.
And then I put my pants on.
Right.
So just that's an image that you can carry with you if you want, listeners.
There you go, listeners.
I know my BMI.
Yeah?
It's in the zone. 22.5 is spot on, I believe.
Wow.
And mine's just over 23.
But you're a very active fella, aren't you?
I'm a mammal. A middle-aged man in Lycra. I do a lot of that sort of stuff.
Very good. So there you go. I hope that answers your question.
There you go, Sue. Have you put on any weight,
Sue? Well, it's not a lady's prerogative to let us know, is it?
Well, I'm for equality of, expression.
Yeah. Go on, then.
If she wants to know what our weight is, then we should know
it
what your weight
ways,
is.
It goes both ways, Sue.
Yeah.
Right. I've got one from the brilliantly named Nigel Glanville Gittins. We've not heard from Nigel before,
have we?
So hello, Nigel.
I think we might have.
That's not a made-up person?
I don't think so.
He's real.
Nigel Glanville Gittins. Hi, Nigel. He says, do anti-maskers prove Darwin's theory of natural selection? Well, I think you've answered your own question there, Nigel, as I'm going to call you now.
I mean, I wear glasses, so I'm always steaming my glasses up when I'm...
I know, that is a problem.
That is a problem.
Also, Craig, you've got a very resplendent beard at the moment, and I found when my beard was quite big at the beginning of lockdown when I just didn't shave, the mask, it really itches underneath. The beard itches
underneath. It's the smell more than anything. Because beards, soak up any food smells and stuff. You feel like you're trapped inside a very small room with a little furry animal that's done a fart.
I think we got... Let's move on.
On another image like that, brilliant stuff. Let's move on.
OK, I've got one from PJ Naylor.
Pip.
Oh, Peach!
Hello, Pip.
Hello, Pip. Nice to hear from you. Which one of you had the best holiday?
Well...
Not me.
Not me, because I didn't have one, so it's between you two. Fight.
Well, ours was...
We were in the same place at the same time at one point, and we didn't know.
We were the same place at the same time more than one point.
Yeah.
Craig actually texted us, didn't he? Yeah. He was a picture of himself outside Averton Gifford Village Hall, which is where I got married. He said, guess where I am? And I said, oh, lovely. And Howard texted back, oh, I'm just up the road. He didn't respond.
No. I was literally in the village, which is not a big village.
He went, oh, shit. Coggins is here. Yeah. Damn. Move on.
I've been rumbled.
When you were down at Pressure Cove, I was at near Mousel, so not very far.
Mousel?
Yeah.
Mousel.
I had a bit of a weird holiday. I'm not going to complain because we were away for 6 weeks. So, it's a total champagne problem. We were supposed to go to France. That didn't happen in the end. But we spent the first 3 weeks wondering whether we were going to go to France or not. And the second 3 weeks, having not gone to France, being a bit disappointed about not having gone to France. And the weather was... I hadn't been in Britain in August for a long time, and it was shite. It really was. It was wet and it was windy. It was horrible. Mm. So I'm not going to complain because we had a nice holiday, but it was the one it was going to be.
It was worse this year than most years. Because we usually go to holiday in Britain, and this was the worst that we've had in August for a while. Lovely.
I'm never going to be in August on holiday in August again in Britain.
Well, there you go.
You've heard it here first.
That's exclusive news.
Yep.
That's up there with us going back on tour.
But we did the Bantham swoosh.
Oh yeah,
I've never done that before.
What's that? Explain
what it is. Fantastic. Well, at Bantham there's an estuary, and as the tide is,
it's a falling tide. You've got to do it on a falling tide.
You've got to do falling tide.
Yeah.
So explain what a falling tide is.
So as the tide's going out, you go up to the beach, and if you're really feeling really energetic, you can swim across the river, across the current, and you can walk up the other side and get even further.
Right.
And you jump in, and it's like a lazy river, and you just float down the river, and it is one of the marvellous things you can do.
Yeah.
How far do you go?
Oh, not that very far, but it takes about 10-15 minutes.
Well, how far did you go, Craig?
Jumped in at the beach, so the sea was coming in, so pushing the water back up the estuary.
Right. Did you go up then?
Yeah, so you jump in at the beach, and then the tide takes you. You don't swim, you just get carried by this upriver. And it's an amazing... And then you get off at there's a sort of jetty and...
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just spotted all these people, old, young, just walking down to the beach in their wetsuits and trunks and whatever, barefoot. And what is going on? And we looked over the cliffs and we just saw everyone just jumping in and just getting carried up the river.
It was an amazing thing. I might have even been at Bantham the same day as you.
But you can also jump in up at...
Gifford.
You can jump in there and get swooshed all the way down to the beach.
That's not what you did though.
No, but a friend of mine does that in Bristol. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
When you're swooshed, what sort of pace are you swooshed at?
Well, it's not very sort of walking paced. Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't swim against it. You can't. I mean, it aids your swimming, but you can just float and it just takes you.
You can't fight a swoosh, Ali.
What's nice, Ali, is if you put a life jacket on. And you just jump in, and then you're completely buoyant, and you just And we put our masks and snorkels on, and did the swoosh, and there was loads of fish. Not that surprising; it's a river.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So that was the highlight of
another exclusive fish in
also
a river.
Swooshing.
Yeah. So I don't know who had the best holiday, but it's I think they sound like they're on a par to me.
Yeah, we did similar things.
Right. Okay, that's the end of the questions. But we do have one final question.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one person who can answer this question. It's Handyman Howard.
If your decorate is driving you insane, and the ball cop is just refusing to drain, he's here with advice, not for financial gain. It's Handyman Howard.
Okay, so this question...
So who's this question from, Stu?
It comes from... Let me just look at the name here. Stuart McLaughlin.
Right.
Yeah. It says, "Dear Handyman Howard, can you make me a bin store?"
Stu.
Yeah.
If you're listening.
I don't think he is.
I anticipated your question, and I've actually started making you a bin store.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So yes, I can.
Brilliant.
Do you want?
I just want a few details.
What is a bin store?
What is a bin store?
A bin store is a store for your bins. It's where you put your bins and your recycling boxes, and it keeps them tidily away, and is a more attractive thing to look at than a bin
or several bins strewn around the front garden.
Yeah.
So it's not a place where you can go and buy a bin.
I guess we'd call that a bin shop in this country.
Yeah, bin shop in this country.
Unless or a American. Store.
Well, if you're American.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but you're not.
Sure.
But I'm not.
Okay, thank you.
So I've started work on it. Luckily, my good friend James Hester.
Hi, James.
Some wood, so I'm going to use that to clad it. I went and bought some 3x2s, and I'm constructing it mainly with 3x2s and halving joints.
Great.
And I'm using my crosscut saw to cut the halving joints.
Right.
Obviously using all the PPE.
Yeah.
I've got my ear defenders and glasses, right. Safety glasses. Yeah. I'm about halfway through.
Brilliant.
And I'm looking forward to seeing it finished.
So am I, or so is Stuart. I'll pass on that info. Thank you very much. Right, well, we didn't get any contributions for any of the other features.
I can't even remember what they are.
There's Stuart's Inquiry.
Stuart's Inquiry, I like Stuart's Inquiry.
And Stu's Reviews.
Stu's Reviews, yeah. So you've got two, have you?
Yeah, I've actually got three because I've also got Emotional Stu, but that's gone now.
It's gone.
That's gone. I've got two and we could never decide which was the best, so we just kept them both. The question's been answered now. No, neither of them, because we haven't had any contributions. So we're going to go to the final word, I think, on this podcast just before we wrap up and go over to Howard's End.
Howard's End is gonna end the show for us. Howard's End.
Right, so we've been talking today about the future of Living Spit and what we're going to be up to in the next month or two. We've also talked about masks. This came up in the conversation, and it ended up as quite a serious conversation about masks, and there are different opinions about whether you should or shouldn't wear a mask. I think we agreed that you should wear a mask, but sometimes it's difficult, and you need to remember that it is difficult for some people. So if, for instance, you were out on your travels and you saw somebody who wasn't wearing a mask, just remember that they might have a pre-existing lung condition that prevents them from easily wearing a mask. So if you do see those people, please don't get angry with them. Don't smack them in the face or chastise them. Be kind.
Be kind.
Be kind.
Well, there we are. I didn't see that ending coming.
I know.
Did you?
I did actually. I knew that. We all knew it was happening. Yeah.
So there we go. A lovely end thought there from Howard.
Yeah.
We are going to be back with a couple of these podcasts on tour, aren't we? We've got a plan to do some on the road.
Yeah.
Can I announce that? Can we say that?
Why not? I mean,
The next time we're back with the podcast, we might be before that, but probably
not. I don't know. We kind of like is it going to be like an occasional thing now? We're not going to try.
Yeah,
we're not going to attempt to do them weekly because it does. It does take, whilst we record it in, you know, fairly quickly, it does take a kind of day or two to edit and put together. So we're gonna not do it every week because we've got lots of other things that we need to be doing.
Yes, we do.
We'll be back sometime soon.
Yeah, and we'll be on tour.
Yeah, I think a podcast while you're on tour would be lovely. There you go. Because touring is going to be different this year.
It is. So
there'll be lots to talk about.
We'll be back and tell you all about it.
Maybe do little recorded segments while, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then piece it together. Yeah. But obviously not record while you're driving.
Or no. Or performing.
That'd be quite cool, though, wouldn't it?
It would be quite cool, but we're not going to. Well, we might. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see you soon anyway.
Yeah, we're here at the Minac and it's raining!
It's raining!
Oh, there's the umbrella's gone!
Oh, there's a dolphin! Someone's having sex! Oh!
Right. Well, we'll see you later. Please keep the questions, comments coming in, and we'll put them in next time we do a podcast, which will only be a few weeks away, I would have
thought.
Yes,
indeed.
So I suppose it's time to say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Living Spit Podcast. Goodbye from The Living Spit Podcast. You've been listening to The Living Spit Podcast. It's gone away.